With the sermon questions, you probably noticed that the title of today's is The Four Seasons. This is not Frankie Valli in The Four Seasons, who were originally known as the Four Lovers and later years called the Jersey Boys. Neither is it about summer, fall, or winter, or spring, which you usually would associate with the four seasons. No, instead, we're going to look at four types of seasons that are mentioned in the Bible. In one sense, there are really many seasons, but we're going to limit ourselves to four specific ones from the scriptures this morning. If you want to take a look at Ecclesiastes, I'll demonstrate why I said there's probably more than one season. Beginning with Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. And a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to gain and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. So in a sense, I suppose you could make a season out of any one of those. But we want to restrict ourselves to a few scriptures that describe a particular type of season. And we want to begin with the temporary season. Now, that was in our scripture reading, basically from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 25. Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. That's how the King James translates it. The New King James says the passing pleasures of sin. How long is this season? How long? Most of the time we think of seasons in terms of growth, planting, harvesting. How long is this growing season, this temporary season? Well, it really covers the time that we spend here on earth. That's the temporary season, the time that we spend on earth. That's the length of time that a person gets to enjoy the pleasures of sin. They're not going to be around after this earth. They're not going to be around after one departs from this life. So this time is all that we have to enjoy the pleasures of sin. The New King James has a translation of, as I mentioned, the passing of pleasures of sin with a footnote saying temporary. Temporary. This is a temporary season. And you might think, well, that's my whole life. Yeah, it is. But what is your whole life in comparison with eternity? What's 60, 70, 100, maybe more years? What is that in comparison to eternity? It is a temporary season. Moses could have chosen an easy, comfortable life here on earth, living in luxury and opulence. He could have been indifferent to what was happening to everyone else, especially his fellow Israelites. He chose the harder path rather than the easier one. He chose the rougher life here on earth, living in a wilderness, for example, instead of in a palace. As it turned out, Moses also traded the best foods of Egypt for manna and a grand palace for a tent. But he was happy to do so because he was looking forward to something permanent, not something on this earth, something after this earth. He was looking forward to a permanent reward in heaven. How many of us are living for the temporary, thus despising true riches? Or as Ray Stevens put in one of his songs, spending counterfeit incentive, wasting precious time and health, placing value on the worthless, disregarding priceless wealth. Yes, I'd say that many people are living precisely that way. Now, as we considered the words that he uses there, worthless things are the things of this world. And priceless wealth would refer to eternal salvation, the eternal reward that God promises. Think about it this way. If you choose not to be present for worship, or Bible study, or a gospel meeting, what are you placing value on? Oh, I'm not like one of those materialistic people. All right, maybe not. But what are you placing value on? Is our focus mostly on the temporary season? Or are we focusing on that which is permanent? According to a legend, a famous preacher was taken by friends on a tour of New York City. Asked about his thoughts on the matter, he answered that he thanked God and his friends for enabling him to see the wonderful sights. Most of all, however, he was grateful that he didn't see a thing there that he wanted. Interesting evaluation, isn't it? Shouldn't that be the same attitude that we possess concerning the world, that there's not a thing there that we really want or need? The best of everything here is temporary. The best is temporary. It is all inferior to heaven in terms of both quality and durability. That's the first season we want to talk about this morning, the temporary season. Now let's move to the second one, which is the appropriate season. And this comes from Isaiah chapter 50, the first part of the verse, to say a word in season to him who is weary. That would be to say something appropriate to a person in that condition. Is this not giving encouragement, to give an encouraging word at an appropriate time? Barnabas had this quality. He was called the son of encouragement. And that was something considered valuable in the Lord's church. No doubt he could lift the spirits of those who had fallen. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 11 says that a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Not everyone has that gift to be able to say the appropriate thing at the appropriate time. But we all are really commanded to do so. Let's look at Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Colossians chapter 4, beginning with verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time, Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer everyone. That's not an easy thing to do, is it? That takes talent. That takes practice. That takes experience to be able to do that kind of thing, to come up with the appropriate word at the appropriate time. We also need to have an appropriate word to defend the gospel. As we read in 1 Peter 3:15, be ready always to give an answer to every man who asks you a reason of the hope that is within you. We need to be ready. Also, you may recall that Paul admonished Timothy to be instant in season and out of season. He needed to preach the word whenever he had the opportunity. It would be nice if it was in season, but sometimes the only time you have it may be out of season. And so if it needs to be said, it needs to be said. Sometimes silence is a good response, but it's not always golden. It is a temporary response until maybe you can think of something appropriate to say to someone. So silence has a good purpose, but we can't just let it remain that way. We need to think of the appropriate thing to say. So those are two of the seasons, the convenient season, the appropriate season. Next, we want to look at Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart or if we do not faint. In due season. Now that is going to be an interesting time. There's a time for sowing, as we already looked at, and a time for reaping, speaking of which the two preceding verses of this passage have to do with sowing and reaping. Let's take a look at Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Paul writes, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap." Well, could we have an example of that? Well, we do, as a matter of fact. "For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." So which one are we primarily sowing to? And what will we reap as a result of each one of those? Are we sowing to the flesh? We'll reap of the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap far better than you will get anything from this world. If you are immersed in the things of this world, that's where your emphasis lies. And that's what you're thinking about all of the time. That's where your mind is. As we saw earlier, the reward of thinking that way will be only with temporary things. However, if you sow to spiritual things, you will gain wisdom and knowledge. Your reward will be to see others doing what is right spiritually. For some, that will mean obeying the gospel. You'll get to see some, as a result of what you have sown, be able to accept the truth of the gospel, repent of their sins, and be buried with Christ in baptism. You'll be able to see that. Then you'll be able to see them grow and mature. This is going to be part of your reward. And this is the most valuable of all rewards for them and a great one for you. Now, you could do a lot of other things without feeling this good. For example, you might win 3 Academy Awards, and it wouldn't compare to being given a crown of life, would it? You might have 4 Super Bowl rings, and it would not compare with hearing the divine approval of God, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." A Nobel Peace Prize is not going to do any good on the day of judgment when you are given the prize by the Prince of Peace. The two are not worthy to be compared, are they? When you sow as you ought, as mentioned in Galatians 6, 7 through 10, really, you reap twice, here on earth and in heaven. You get to keep both rewards. They can't be taken away from you. The good accomplished here, you have that reward in being able to see it, to see how others respond, to see others develop spiritually, to see others committed to eternal life. You get to see that, and then you get the eternal reward yourself for all that is accrued unto you. Let's look again at Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. And let us not grow weary. Sometimes people don't see an immediate response, and it might get discouraging. So, therefore, this admonition. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those of the household of faith. So we want to reap good things, not only now, spiritual things now, but we shall reap eternally if we do not lose heart. Keep doing good. Now, the fourth one that we want to look at this morning is the convenient season. You may remember that Paul spoke to Felix, as he did to several others when he had occasion. And Felix was the governor. And Felix heard what Paul had to say, and he even trembled. But then he said, "When I have a convenient season, I will call for you." And he did talk to Paul further. But that convenient season to obey the gospel never came. I have known of some people who were this close to obeying the gospel, but they put it off and they never got around to it. That convenient season never came. And they entered into eternity without the blood of Christ having washed away their sins. If you know what you need to do, do not delay in doing it, either to obey the gospel or to come back and serve God as you ought. Don't put it off. Many procrastinate like Felix. And in fact, I suspect that many would join the procrastinators club if they ever got around to it. But so far they haven't. And they have their own publication, by the way, called Last Month's Newsletter. Sometimes some of the columns are blank because the people didn't meet the deadline to get their work in. So it's not always complete. Well, this may seem a little bit amusing as it pertains to one of the things many of us have trouble with. But when applied spiritually, it is not amusing. It is actually deadly. And so we don't want to be among those who continually put something off, especially something as important as salvation. Think about this. Satan doesn't care. He doesn't care if you believe that God created the world instead of the false theory of evolution. Satan doesn't necessarily care about that. Satan doesn't care if you live a moral life. That doesn't bother him. He's got plenty who don't. Satan doesn't care if you read and understand the Bible, if you attend worship every week, if you contribute money to the church. He doesn't care about those things. He doesn't care if you have decided to obey the gospel sometime, as long as it's tomorrow. When you start saying today, he gets nervous. But as long as it's something I'm going to do sometime, it doesn't bother Satan, because you're still his. You can do all those things we just listed, but you're still Satan's. You're still not the Lord's, because you haven't done anything to declare your love for him, to declare your dependence upon him. Remember Felix. No convenient season ever came. So what are the four seasons? The temporary season. All the things in this world, all the pleasures of sin, those are all temporary. It's a temporary season. This world is going to come to an end, or your life is going to come to an end. And the temporary will be over, and we'll all be faced with what is permanent, the spiritual realm, God. Then there is the appropriate season in how we deal with others and how we try to help and encourage spiritually all people that we come in contact with. Then there's the reward that we get in due season, for recognizing that the temporary is only temporary, and emphasizing the spiritual in our daily lives, and saying the appropriate things to others, we shall reap in due season. But then there is that convenient season, and you don't want to wait for that, because it may never ever come. I think this would probably be appropriate for some. It's from our church. We've been called to active duty. Some are not active. Some have very little concept of duty, what I owe. Many people are thinking, what can the church do for me? And they're not thinking, what can I do for God? What can I do for the church? What can I do for my brethren? We need to emphasize the permanent, not the temporary. We need to speak up for what is right and true, and not just be silent concerning those things. Have you started that journey to the cross? If not, that's where permanence is. That's where safety is. That's where security is. That's where eternal life is. And if you haven't started that journey, then it's time you did. By repenting of your sins, confessing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and being buried with him. That just as he died on the cross, was buried in the tomb and was raised up from the dead to die no more, you too can die to sin, be buried in water, and be raised up again in the Lord. Have you begun that journey? It's not complicated. We just gave a brief outline, and there it is on the screen. And there's a few scriptures to go with it if you need some. Everything about this is scriptural. It may not be what you've heard, but it's in the Bible. Well, a lot of things that people are teaching religiously don't have an origin in the Bible. They have an origin in man's wisdom rather than the Word of God. So those are some things that we ought to do. But if you have done that, then what? Have you walked away from that emphasis and gone back to the temporary, to the things in the world? Have you not devoted yourself to speaking appropriate things to brothers and sisters and those outside of Christ? What do you expect to reap in due season if you've been following that course? No, you need to come back to the cross and live the way our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ wants you to live. This morning, if we can help you in that regard, either way, coming back or coming to for the first time, let us know while we stand and while we sing.